If you would this morning, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of 2 Timothy, chapter number 2. I'm going to read two verses here in 2 Timothy. And then we're going to go back to the book of Joshua, chapter 14. The two verses in the New Testament is the statement of the Apostle Paul given to this young preacher, Timothy. This is the only time that the word soldier is used by the Apostle Paul as he writes to this young preacher, this man that had followed after him, and now before long Paul is going to be leaving this world. But we find that in chapter 4 that he is ready to depart. But he leaves this message to Timothy. And I believe we find the message that was given to Timothy, what he was to be, was a good soldier. And then we find in the book of Joshua a man that typifies and gives us the way that we can be a good soldier for the Lord Jesus. In 2 Timothy chapter number 2, verse number 3 and 4, "Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man warreth, entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier." Here we find that Paul tells Timothy, he says, you have been chosen for a particular task and you're to be a soldier. Not only a soldier, but to be a good soldier. And if we're going to be a good soldier for the Lord, he tells us that we cannot entangle ourselves in the things of the world. The affairs that the world has and the things that the world has to offer will defeat us as being a good soldier. And so, Paul is instructing Timothy and telling him that if he wants to do something for the Lord, then he's going to have to stay right with God. And that's not only good instruction for Timothy, that's good instruction for Lawrence, and that's good instruction, and you can put your name there. If we're going to be a good soldier for the Lord, then we put our name there that we cannot entangle, we cannot intermingle the things of this world because they will only drag us down and will defeat us. Now turn back to the book of Joshua, chapter number 14. Joshua chapter number 14. We're going to be dealing with a man by the name of Caleb this morning, and a very prominent person in Scripture. We're going to look at some things about his life. He is one of the great characters of the Old Testament and really of the entire Bible. Caleb, he is one of the 12 spies that met and went into spy out the promised land. We know the story was that as they went over, they said, "Why, they came back with a report that we are nothing more than just grasshoppers in the sight of them. They are nothing more than giants, and we are small in their sights. And we cannot take the land." And God had already told them they could take the land. But there's only two men out of the 10 that came back with a good report. Now, somebody says the majority is always right. Here's one time the majority was wrong. The majority said we cannot, and two, the minority said yes, we can. We can take this land, we can do what God says, and we can have the blessings of the Lord. One of those two was the man Joshua. Of course, we know his life as he followed through the land of the wilderness that he later became and took over the leadership of Israel when Moses passed away off the scene. Joshua was chosen of God, and he begins to be a great general, a great leader for the people of Israel. And of course, we have this book after his name, Joshua. The other individual that said they could take the land was a man by the name of Caleb. And we're going to look in chapter 14 and read a few verses here and notice how that we can be a good soldier. I've just entitled the message, "The Making of a Good Soldier." The making of one that is right with God and willing and able to fight the battle and to struggle against all odds if need be. And by the way, Joshua and Caleb were the only two that was of that crowd during that day. When they came back and gave the bad report, "We cannot take the land," And all the people of Israel said, we will not go in. God let them wander in the wilderness till every one of them died. There's not a one of them that said they could not, and not a one of them that doubted God. There's not a one family, not a one person that went over to the promised land. For God let them wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that generation was gone. And the only two left of that generation was this man, Joshua, and this man, Caleb. So let's look in chapter number 14, verse number 6. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, and said to him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land, and I brought him word again, and was as it was in my heart. Nevertheless, my brethren that went with me made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord my God. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance, and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. As yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. For war both to go out and to come in. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou hearest in that day how that the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, Hebron, for an inheritance. Here we find this great man, Caleb, coming to Joshua, and he rehearses in his ears the experiences of some 40-some-odd years before, of how he came back and how that Moses had promised him that I will give you that land where your feet has trod. He has gone over and he has gone through all the wilderness journeys. He has done all the things that God has commanded him to do. And Caleb and Joshua, those only two that were there that day when the majority of the folks rejected. And he says in verse number 8, nevertheless, my brethren went up before me, made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord. Joshua and Caleb. Caleb says, I did what God told me to do. And so now he's 85 years old. And he says, I want that mountain that God told me, that Moses said, that I could have. He says, I'm not either any weaker. I'm just as strong. I'm just as able. I'm just as much of a soldier. He said, I can battle those that has the land. And he said, I can drive them out because of the grace of God. And he knew what he wanted. He desired that Moses had given him. He had kept himself in way and all means where that he could battle the land and he could take back what God had given to him, and he did not want to give up. And so the famous statement here by Caleb says, I want that mountain. I want that place where Moses promised me that I would have, and those were after me of my family, that I would have. And so Joshua, as we read here, gave him that land for an inheritance. What made Caleb a good soldier? What made him a man, a person, that was able to be the age that he was, physically and spiritually, he was just as fit as he was before. And he says, I'm ready to do battle. I'm ready to go and take that mountain. I believe there's some 4 or 5 things here in these verses that we've read that tell us and give us an example of the making of a good soldier. If we want to do something for the Lord, if we want to be active for God, there's some things here in these verses that help us and will tell us how that we can be a good soldier as Paul put it to Timothy, be a good soldier, endure the hardness, endure the things that are there. I was listening to a report the other day about the Navy SEALs and how that they go through the rigorous training and all the things that they have to go through, and there's just a small minority of those that desire to be a SEAL that make it through because of the intense work and the struggle and the battles and the fight and the intense working to get to where they can do what has to be done. And what would be the point of going and failing? And so here we find that Paul says, Timothy, you got to be a good soldier. You've got to endure the hardness. You've got to endure the troubles and the problems that come your way. I dare say Caleb had undergone some problems. He had seen some difficulties. He had had some hard days. You have to remember now, Caleb was in that crowd that experienced Jericho. He was in that group that when they went to Jericho and the walls of the city were fenced high above them, and he had seen the things that God would do and how they marched around. And I sort of think Caleb probably was in that crowd that was marching around the walls of Jericho. And I sort of think Caleb saw him come down because he knew that God was able to do all those things. If God could give them the promised land, surely he'd take care of this city. And so he had experienced that. He had experienced the problem of Ai. How that when you go against the Word of God and you falter and fail, and all of a sudden he'd seen some of his friends and some of those around him that he had known, he saw how they had fallen to the battle because just of the sin of one man. You see, Caleb had gone through some difficult days and some struggles of his life. Why, Caleb was one of the men that saw the sun stand still that day. So he had seen it all. He had seen everything. And now they've crossed over, and Joshua is taking the land and he's dividing it between the different tribes and the different people. And Caleb said, I want that right there that Moses told me 45 years ago that would be mine. And he said, I'm just as strong then as I am now. I'm as strong now as I was then. And he says, I want that mountain. Look at verse number 6. He says, this man called Caleb, he says unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee at Kadesh Barnea. Here we find that Caleb reminded Joshua, that is, those two, says, between me and thee. He said, you remember what Moses told us. And here we have gone through all these years, and he believed what God told him. So the first thing I want us to think about is our faith being founded upon the Word of God. That's the first and foremost thing in the life of a soldier for Jesus Christ. You better know where your faith is found. It's not found in the world. It's not found in politics. It's not found in people. But it's found in the precious Word of God. It's found in this book that we call holy. It's this book that tells us the ways of life. And Caleb told Joshua, said, you remember when the Word of God told the man of God things about us? You remember that. Faith had been founded upon His Word. You see, without faith, the Bible tells us that it is impossible to please God. Hebrews chapter 11 tells us without faith, there's no way that we're going to please the Lord. There's no way that we're going to be a good soldier. Faith, the grain, the size of a grain of a mustard seed, the Lord told His disciples, can move those mountains and can push them out of the way. And the faith of a small seed is that which God could use to move the strong things about us. Small faith can bring about large victories. If you're going to be a good soldier for Jesus Christ, my friend, I must tell you, and I must believe also, that my faith must be founded and grounded firm in the Word of God. This book, this Bible, the Word of God that is inspired of the Lord, breathed of God, is a book that you can depend upon. And when God says it will work, guess what? It will work. When God says it won't work, it's not going to work. And so we're going to have our faith grounded in this message of God's Word in order for us to do the work of God. In order for us to be a soldier And in order for us to be a good soldier, so Joshua and Caleb, and especially here Caleb reminding Joshua, "Thou knowest the thing that the Lord said to Moses." And he says, the man of God, concerning us. You remember what the man of God, Moses, said to you and I. And Caleb says, my faith is upon that word. I'm glad, thank God, my faith can be built upon nothing less than Jesus' blood, His righteousness. My faith can be built upon the Word of God to understand and know that He can make us a good soldier to endure the hardness and to not entangle ourselves in the things of this world. So faith must be in God's Word. Faith must be implanted, embedded, placed upon the Word of God, because this message is true and it'll never, never go out of date. Someone said the other day that, I forget now what it was, but they was looking at something and they say, well, this is timeless. Well, it just simply means that it doesn't matter when you look at it or when you have it, it'll mean the same thing next year as it means right now. Time doesn't affect it any. Well, guess what? This book is timeless. Time does not affect it. Now, time may affect us and does affect us. Time may progress and go on and things will be changed about us and about society, but time will not affect the Word of God. Time will not destroy. Time will not bring the Word of God down to defeat. So I can take my faith and put it upon God's Word and get ready to be a good soldier. Verse number 7. There's another element of being a good soldier. There's another portion of this, and it's found in verse number 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought him word again as was in my heart. What Caleb says, 40 years ago, I went out and spied the land, and I brought back what was in my heart about the land. What it was, he said, I told the truth. God said we could take it, and I said we could take it. I believe Caleb was a man of integrity. I believe he not only had his faith founded upon the Word of the man of God, which is the Word of God, but he had his life was filled with integrity or character. He had the right understanding of things around him. He said, I brought back to Moses what was in my heart. Now there was 10 others that they brought back the word that we can't do it. When God said they could, and Caleb said, I believed we could, and I brought back what was in my heart, and I told Moses, yes, we can take the land. So he had integrity, he had character. He was honest. He had a principled life, and he was upright. I believe these are all characteristics of a good soldier. These are all characteristics of a person that's going to go out and do battle. And Paul told Timothy, he said, you be a good soldier. That means, Timothy, you have some integrity about yourself. I tell you what, we live in a land today, we live in a time in a society today that most people don't even understand what integrity is all about. They have no honesty, they have no understanding of being truthful and honest with their dealings, and their principles are out the window. They don't have any idea of being upright, and their character is down the drain. I don't want that kind of person leading me. I want somebody I can depend upon. I want somebody that I can rely upon. And Caleb said, I had integrity. I brought to Moses not necessarily what everybody else said. I was willing to stand against the tide and stand against the crowd and being the minority because I knew what was in my heart and I gave it to the man of God. You and I this morning, if we're going to amount to anything for the Lord, better have some integrity. I hear of things all the time. And I don't doubt. I really don't have a problem with a lot of Christian people that not having integrity, because a lot of the pastors I know and hear about, they don't have any either. have no integrity at all. Just do what they can do to get what they can get and go on and forget about everybody else. My friend, if we're going to be a good soldier, if we're going to do what God has for us to do, if we're going to endure the hardness of life, we're going to have some integrity. We're going to have to stand upon principles. We're going to have to stand upon the faith of the Word of God. We're going to stand upon what thus saith the Lord and not worry about what the crowd says. I'll tell you what, if you listen to the majority today, we'd be in bad condition. If I listen to the crowd today that's running things, I'd think there wasn't even a God in heaven, but I know there is one. Now we better have our integrity built upon our faith of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this book that reveals to Him unto us. His faith was founded upon God's Word. He had integrity of heart. He had character. He was a principled fellow. That means he walked upright. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord. Verse number 8 and verse number 9. He says, "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt." Now notice here, "But I wholly followed the Lord my God." I wholly followed the Lord my God. He says in verse number 9 that Moses swore on that day that surely the land whereupon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Caleb makes reference to him following the Lord. And now Moses is making reference and said, "This is your inheritance because you did follow completely, wholly the Word of God." He was committed in his way unto the Lord. Now, the Lord's army really has no space for people that are not committed. It really has nowhere for the uncommitted individual, because somewhere down the line, you're going to either have to commit or you're going to have to run. Somewhere, it may not be today, it may not be tomorrow, it may not be next month, may not be next year, but somewhere in your life, you'll come to the position that I'm either going to stand for God or I'm going to go the other direction. And Caleb said, "I wholly followed the Lord, my God." And it was such a way that Moses said, "You followed the Lord. You committed your way. You committed your life." And when I got saved, I committed my soul to the Lord. He saved me. When you got saved, He put you out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. He took you out of a family that was ungodly and placed you in the family of God. But now this thing of commitment comes after that. This thing of serving God is a daily activity that just because you serve Him yesterday doesn't mean you'll serve Him today. And just because you did real well today doesn't mean you'll do so good tomorrow if you do not commit your way every day. Old Caleb, he said, "Now, Joshua, you remember that day we came back and we gave our report. You remember how that we said that we can take the land. Nevertheless, our brethren, while they said we couldn't, they made the hearts of the people melt. They put fear in the lives of individuals. But now, Joshua, you remember that I wholly committed, followed the Lord my God." Joshua, you remember that day when Moses said, "The land that your feet trod upon, that will be your inheritance." It's because you followed the Lord. If you want to be a good soldier, you better know where to put your faith. You better have integrity. And you better be committed. Because the wicked one, the devil, he's going to bring about every possible way of making you uncommitted. Today we must have commitment to the church, to the Lord, to our jobs, to our home. Dedication. If we're going to be a good soldier. Joshua and Caleb, as they served and worked for God all those 40 years in the wilderness, and they say all that they saw all that crowd disappear in the wilderness. They died. Now Joshua, he's been rewarded. He's the leader. And Caleb said, "I want that mountain because Moses said I could have it. I committed my way to the Lord, and He gave it to me." Now in verse number 10 and verse number 11, we find that Caleb understands that he's here in this position because of the Lord. Look at verse 10. "And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive. I'm here today because the Lord has kept me alive. And he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake his word to Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness, and now, lo, I am this day 85 years old, and as yet I am as strong this day as I was the day that Moses sent me. And my strength was then, even so it is my strength now, for war both to go out and to come in." Here we find that Caleb understood that everything about him had been preserved by the power of God. He's going to be a good soldier. He's been a good soldier, and God's now rewarding him for that. We find that that Caleb says, the Lord hath kept me alive. I'll tell you what, if you're here this morning, it's strictly because of the Lord. If you're breathing, if you're alive, it's not because of the works of your flesh, it's because of the good grace of God. It's because of the wonderful, marvelous grace that God has given us that we're living and breathing and doing our work. It's because of God. And Caleb said, "I've been preserved by the Lord, and I've been preserved for a purpose." You and I today, we're not here just to take up space and kill time. We're not here just to spend money and have good things and good way. We're here to serve the Lord because God's permitted us and God's kept us alive. There's probably some in here this morning that could give testimony. If it wasn't for the grace of God, a certain thing happened in my life and I could have been wiped out of here. I've heard some of them. I've heard some of your testimonies. I've heard how that God preserved our lives. Certain day or certain incident, certain thing happened that it could have gone either way, but the grace of God, He's preserved us. And He did it that we might go in and come out, that He did it that we might war the good warfare for the Lord. We're here this morning, and there is purpose in life. Caleb understood that God was able. Caleb understood that many, many times God had set a table in the wilderness, that God was able to give victory in the valley or on the mountain. God's able. And so Caleb says, "My life has been preserved by God. And I'm not here just to walk along as an 85-year-old man doing nothing." He said, "Give me my mountain. Give me what God has given." And Joshua, you remember, he calls and remembers Joshua's mind those days 40 years ago as God through Moses made those announcements. And he said, "Here we are. Here we are, Joshua." Can you imagine what maybe had gone through their minds? Here they are 40-some-odd years later, and of that whole generation that disbelieved God, only two are left living. One's a general. One's the leader of Israel. One has taken over the reins of the great man Moses as he was. He steps in place, and God puts him there. One's a general, but Caleb says, "I'm a soldier. I'm a good soldier. And I've been here for this purpose and for this reason." I wonder this morning, what's your purpose? What's my purpose? Do we know that? There's a reason for us having life. There's a reason for us that our lives haven't been snuffed out by some freak thing that took place. There's a reason that we're still living and breathing. There's a reason that we're here. May God help us to fight the good fight of faith and say, "There's a reason for me existing, and that's to serve God. Do we be obedient unto Him?" He says in verse 12, and I'll close, Now therefore give me this mountain, for the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day. Joshua, you heard it. You heard how the Anakims were there, and the cities were great and fenced. You heard the crowd that said we couldn't do it. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I will be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave to Caleb Hebron for an inheritance. Joshua had Caleb had undiminished desire and a vision. I want that mountain. That's the one God gave me, and I want it. And Joshua, you remember all the things we went through to get here. Now, Joshua, you're the general, you're the leader, but I want that mountain. I haven't diminished my thoughts. My strength is just as it was, and I'm going to go do battle with that crowd that God said I could whip. And so Joshua gave him his mountain. You know, God has given all of us many possibilities, many ways of life. Sometimes we don't reach our potential because our desires become diminished. Sometimes we say, well, it hasn't happened like I thought it would, so I'm just going to quit on God. There's a lot of people out there like that. They're sitting at home this morning and they say, boy, I wish it could be like it used to be. Have you ever met anybody like that? Have you ever been like that? I think we've all been there. I wish it could be like it used to be. I wish I could do this. I wish I could do... My goodness, just do what we can do for the Lord. Old Caleb said, I'm 85 years old and I'm ready. I'm 85 years old and I'm just as strong as I was when I was 40. I can go to battle. And by the way, that's why God preserved me. That I can go in, come out. The enemy's still in that mountain. And he said, I'm going to take the mountain. Why did he believe that? Why did he believe that? Because God said to take the mountain. Some of the best stories that you will read in American history are those men and women of days gone by that said, I can take the mountain. You ought to read some of those stories of the Medal of Honor winners. How they fought against all odds. But they said, we can take it. We can do it. The world today says Christianity is nothing. The world as a whole says we're just a little old group of people that's archaic and don't understand what's going on. Why we're not educated. We don't have all the things of life. Well, guess what? We may not have all the things of the world, but we have God. And when you have God, you can take the mountain. You can move the mountain. You can defeat the enemy. You can do what God tells you to do. Why? Because He's God and He is able. So if you want to be a good soldier, take the advice that Caleb gives us. Take the understanding. Put your faith in the Word of God. Do understand, know that it's by faith that we do everything. Understand, you've got to have some integrity. When we say it, then mean it. When we say something, be truthful. Have disciplined life to study and to live and to serve God. Be like Caleb said, God told me I could have it and I want it. And I'm just as strong now as I was then. Give me the mountain. We fight a battle today that seemingly is unwinnable. I mean, when you look at the world, you look at the forces of evil, humanly speaking, we don't have a chance. But guess what? I know what God said. I know what the book says. And so I can just go on. Sure, I may suffer some battles and I may suffer some heartaches and some defeats. I may have problems, but may God help us not to have a problem because we entangle ourselves in the world. If we have problems, if we have battles, I'm glad God's able. God can take care of us. May the Lord help us this morning to be a good soldier. And I think when you read the life of Caleb, and we just took a few verses, when you read the life of Caleb, you find the making of a good soldier. Ready to battle, ready to go to war. Why? Because simply God said you can. And we can. Let's stand together this morning.